Once again, we had a couple of weeks of break with Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. I hope you had a blessed time during that week. And then perhaps some of you needed a break from hearing my voice. So God answered your prayers. And now we are back once again in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right before the break, right before the Palm Sunday when we met, we had started that chapter 3, there is no way to do a complete justice to what is in chapter 3 because there is so much there. We had covered the first four verses in that chapter, which started out by saying to us, last days, there is a perilous time. And just to kind of refresh your memory, we had talked about last days. What's the definition of the last days? Various definitions in the scripture, starting with Genesis chapter 49. And of course, when we read Hebrews, it says these are the last days. From the start of Jesus' ministry, when he was born, that ushered in the last days. And I had spoken to you about four different characteristics, four different marks, traits of this last days, or what we are looking at in this first nine verses. Two of them we covered last time. First, it's a terrible and perilous time. Second thing we had looked at is it's a godless world. That was the verse 2 and 4. And what we are going to look at today is Mark 3, which comes in verse 5, a powerless religion, and then verse 6 to 9, it talks to us about corruption in the leadership or corrupted ministry. And so that's what we are going to look at as we go through this portion of scripture. So verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now this is a verse that we need to understand the verb that is used here, especially where it talks to us at the end where it says turn away. That's a very strong verb in a Greek language. It literally talks to us about you want to run away. You want to almost it speaks to us about fear, that you should be fearful of this situation and get as far away from it as you can, much like you running away from a fire or a dangerous situation. So I want us to keep that in the back of our minds as we go through this portion of scripture. Okay, so it says having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Now, when you see that, one of the things that we have to be very be aware of is when we get into the end days, as we are now in last days, but as we progress toward those end days and we go towards tribulation, there is going to be religion all around the world. Don't have this misunderstanding that once the church is raptured, and yes, I do believe I am a pre-trib guy. I believe that the church is going to be raptured before the time of tribulation, as we have talked about at various times. There are other beliefs, but I believe, and what the scripture to me supports, is a pre-trib rapture, where we are going to be raptured before the seven-year tribulation that we learn about in Revelation starts. So at that time, even during that seven-year of tribulation, when there is all kind of ungodliness going on, there will be religion. There will be churches. Don't have this misunderstanding or this notion that the churches are going to disappear. Matter of fact, there are going to be churches that are going to flourish during this time. And of course, the religion is going to be all over the world. I come, as many of you know, I come from India. And if you look at India, second most populated nation in the world, there is a lot of religion there. There is a lot of spiritual search over there. Okay? There are a lot of people who pretend to seek after spiritual thing, and I think they are sincere in that pursuit. They are just running after a wrong God. But there is a lot of religion in India. Okay, there's a lot of religion in India. You look at Middle East, there is a lot of religion in the Middle East. Okay? You know there is a lot of religion here in America. But this is the church that verse 5 is describing. It says, having form of godliness, but denying its power. So when you look at from the outward appearance, they have all the making of what a church should be. It's a church that is functioning. It is functioning at a high level. You see programs, you see things going on in that church. That church is busy. They are busy with the rituals, they are busy with all the other ceremonies, they are busy with whatever that church holds as a truth, their doctrine and their whatever their traditions are. All of those things are going on, but they deny the truth that is in Scripture. And it is very subtle. Maybe some of you are sitting at a church like this and you don't realize, because from the outward appearance, it has everything that you would seek in a church, but it does not transport, right? It does not transform people's lives. And that's the power we are talking about, right? Because the power is the what we celebrated last Sunday, which is the resurrection power. So they have all the making of a good church, but they deny the resurrection power, because it is in that resurrection power, it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that the lives are changed. Right? That's what sets our Christianity apart from every other religion in the world, because our God, the God of the Bible, Jesus, changes lives. Right? It's impossible to claim that I am born again, that I am walking with Christ, and to have no change in your life. Right? The one thing that I often use, and you have heard me say this, is from day when I started walking with Jesus, nothing changed day to day. But now that I look back, everything is different. There has to be a change in your life. There has to be. This is a it's a it's the fruit that the scripture speaks about. If you are still talking about things the way you used to, if you are still approaching your problems in your life or situations in your life in the same manner as you were before Christ, then there is something wrong. Now, we may all grow at a different rate. Okay, some of us learn a lesson fast, some of us it takes a little while. All I'm saying is there needs to be a progress. And if there is no progress, then you need to get down on your knees and you need to pray to God, right? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Just imagine this, okay? Imagine a bowl of fruit, fake fruits. Okay, and you see them all over the place, right? As a decoration, many times when there are parties or there are a celebration going on, you have fake flowers or you have fake fruits that decorate the place, right? When you look at them, right? If you were to just see them or you see a picture of it, you see that they're beautiful, perfect color, perfect texture. They look like, oh, so delicious, right? But when you go to pick it up and try to eat it, there is nothing, right? There is nothing. You can't eat it. There is no smell. Maybe they can even put artificial smell, especially with the flowers, right? But you know what I mean. Well, when you look at a fake fruit or a fake flower, compare to a natural fruit or a natural flower. These churches are like that, where they have all the appearance, but none of the power. And here, Paul gives a warning to us. And I think this is something that we need to really pay attention to, where he says, and from such people, turn away. Did you notice that? It doesn't, it starts with the self-love, and we saw about 18 characteristics of what happens from that self-love right? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. You know, all of the stuff that we looked at last week, right? Those same people are the ones who are responsible for this fake godliness. And then Paul says, run from such people. Run, turn away. This is much like what he told Timothy earlier when we studied, when he said, flee from youthful lust. This is, you know, and sometimes, and I have talked to many, many people, and some of them are my dear friends, okay? And they have, you know, they have this this misunderstanding or misguided notion is, hey, I'm going to stay at a church like this. I'm going to hang out with people like this, and I am going to make a difference, and I'm going to change the whole system. And now when I look, and, you know, 5 years passes by, 10 years passes by, 15 years passes by, and guess what? Nothing has changed. Because the scripture tells us there are toxic people in our life that we need to run away from, turn away. Because they are teaching you a false Jesus. They are teaching you a false doctrine. This, you know, there are plenty of warning in the Bible. And I think this is a big one. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Right? If you are sitting at a church, if you are, and I know I have said this number of times in the past few months, and you are not seeing the power of God, if you are not seeing lives being changed, right? And when the lives are being changed, let me also say this, okay? When the lives are being changed, you don't have to go searching for it. It will be very obvious. It will be very obvious. You don't have to search, oh, you know what? We went out to hand out a tract, and this one guy we talked to. There'll be testimony all over the place. You will see if you are at a church, okay, who operates under the resurrection power, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you will see the fruit in that church. And if you are not seeing it, if you are not seeing it, you really seriously have to think about, am I sitting and worshiping at the right place? Let me also say this to you, okay? The number one place where you are sowing to see fruit, or you should see fruit, is in your own life. Forget about other people coming to God. You have to be able to see that difference in your own life. That when I am going to this church, when I am plugged into this fellowship, look how I am growing in the Lord. And as we have talked about it so many times, sometimes being at that place will be uncomfortable. Because when God decides to dissect, God decides to convict you, it's uncomfortable. So I'm not saying that you need to be at church where you feel very comfortable. Sometimes it's going to be very uncomfortable. Because when God deals with us and God brings things in the forefront, especially within your heart, it is very, very uncomfortable. Because most of us don't want to deal with it. Most of us don't want to deal with it. And so, if you happen to be at a church where you are not seeing any fruit, here is a perfect verse for you. And from such people, turn away. Because, as I said, and this could be a very, very productive church from the secular point of view. It might be, the parking lot might be full, okay? The offering basket might be full. You might be feeding the widows. You might be feeding the orphans. You might be doing a lot of charity works. You might be even supporting a lot of missions all over the world. You could be doing all the things, all the appearance. But is there a power? Is there a resurrection power over there? And so, as I started saying, there will be plenty of churches when we are removed from here. There will be plenty of churches. All these ceremonies that we are seeing, all these things that we are seeing right now that's going on, and you know there are so many things going on with so many false church and false ministries. They will all be going on, but that power is not there. And the reason that power is not there is because they don't want that power. They want to justify themselves instead of what the scripture says, how you are to come to God. So they pretend. These are the same people that Paul addresses in Romans chapter 2. The one who thinks I'm a moral being because of who I am. Look what I'm doing. It's like the guy who went to pray at the altar. He said, hey, look, I'm not like a tax collector. Look what I do. I fast. I do this and that. Trying to meet God in their own ability. That's what we have. And from such people, turn away. Verse 6, it says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? Knowledge of truth. The word enter that we read is an important word. It's the word anduno. And it, as it says over here, it means to creep in, wiggle, slither in. Okay? Sneak into the thing. It's Jude 4, verse 4 says this, okay? For a certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out of this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so these people are not announcing what their purpose is. They are creeping into the midst of us. Sometimes they pretend to be something that they are not. Right? And as Jude says, long ago marked for condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. Meaning, right? They say, hey, I'm covered by the grace so I can do whatever I want to do. They excuse every sin under the sun because, hey, I am under the grace of God. That's what this word means, right? Three things we notice here. Okay, three things we notice here. He says, for of these sort are those who creep into household and make captives of who? Although it says gullible women, okay, men are not exempt from it, okay? It should always be remembered, the men are just as gullible as women, just as spiritually dead, weak, immature, and unstable. Okay? So don't... Yes, it says gullible women here, and we are going to get to that in a minute. Okay? But if you happen to be a man and listening to this, don't think, oh, this is just for the women. We would not fall into this. No. You are in the same boat. Spiritually dead, weak, immature, and unstable. But when it comes to things of spiritual nature, and we go back all the way to Genesis 3, right? Satan approached Eve. In my opinion, women are very sensitive to spiritual things, much more than men, right? The women are usually more prayerful. They tend to search those things out. They are very sensitive in that matter, and we see that throughout the scripture. And thus, when a false teacher like this creeps in, they have a tendency to go after women. Okay, and look what it says: not every woman. This is not speaking of every woman. It says a gullible women, and what are their characteristics? Loaded down with sins. Right, so there is some kind of guilt. Think of Samaritan woman, okay, or something that Satan can make you feel guilty about. It says led away by various lusts, right? So, and there is a sexual connotation there, okay? There is that suggestion over there, and always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the meaning that they are always searching, not accepting the truth that is so clear in the scripture. When you look at some of the cults that we have, okay, and what you will find is women have played a major role in them. Okay, you look at Seventh Day Adventists, Ellen G. White. Go and search it out. What happened there? Okay, you look at Mary Eddy Baker, Christian Science. Okay, and this I'll take you back to the verse before when we were talking about form of godliness. Right? These are ritualistic churches. The Scientologist church. Okay, you look at church. You look at the Church of the Latter Day Saints. You look at all these cults, and there are other cults, and you can do a research on your own to see how the women have influenced the cults. Even the men who have heard these cults, and you see the role of the women in that cult. The first people to kind of be swayed by that false teaching are women. I personally know someone, okay? I personally know, meaning he's not my friend or anything, but I know of a church pastor who goes after women. He attracts the women to his church, and what he basically does is, hey, if I get the woman, I'm going to get the husband. So he puts them in a prominent role. And that's how he built a pretty good church. Okay? So this is the kind of people that we are speaking of when we are looking at these verses, right? The three things that you want to look out for to identify such men, okay? And when I say such men, the men that we have been discussing for the last two Bible studies in this first 7-8 verses, right? First and foremost, you want to see their walk. Right? It does the message from the pulpit meet their walk? Does it match their character in their day-to-day dealings? Do you see it? Or is it just empty words? That's number one thing that you want to see. And that you want to see that with every single person that you learn from, right? That includes me, right? You have to examine my character. You have to see that does his walk match his talk, right? And that brings me to the second point. You have to see what they teach. How closely do they follow the scripture? How closely do they stay close to the scripture? Does the creed match what the Bible teaches? So first and foremost, their character, what they are speaking, that's what they are living by. Then what are they teaching? Because you know what? They can be living by what they are teaching, but what they are teaching is to excuse some sinful life. And so it may say, hey, he lives exactly the way he talks, right? Joel Austin talks about prosperity all the time. So look at him, right? $3,000 suit, and so his teaching kind of matches his walk, right? But is he teaching from the scripture? How closely is he staying to the scripture? And easy preaching the Jesus of the Bible, or is it some other Jesus that he is preaching? And the third thing that you want to be mindful of is the people who sit under that person. How are they living? If you go to a church and you see that the people sitting there are not changed, they are very carnal. And I'm not saying one or two people. I'm just saying generally the people who are the members or who are the followers of this particular teacher, they excuse sin. They are involved in a sinful life, and they play very loosely with scripture. When you notice all these three things, then you kind of know that perhaps this is a wrong person to follow or a wrong place to be. And look, you know, all of us have an experience with Jehovah's Witness, right? Have you noticed they never come around at nighttime? They always come during the daytime. Who's home during the daytime? They take advantage of those women who are gullible because of the things that we discussed. Okay? So, moving on. It says, verse 8, it says, now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. Now here we have two names, Jannes and Jambres. Jannes means the one who seduces, and Jambres means the one who leads you into rebellion. That's what the names mean. These are the two people. Okay, and this is the only place their names are mentioned, but this is in reference to what we read in Exodus chapter 7 and 8, the Egyptian priest who kind of performed the same miracle that Moses did in front of Pharaoh. These are these two priests. And when you when you look at Jewish tradition and you look at some of Jewish tradition, they were very well known, okay? And according to the Jewish tradition, what it says, and of course, I wanna make sure that I emphasize this point. This is a Jewish tradition, so take it at that value that they actually converted to Judaism, and they came out with the Hebrews when they left Egypt, and they are the ones who led. The Hebrews into the worship of the calf that we read in Exodus chapter 32, that they were directly responsible for that calf worship. But that's, again, this is Jewish tradition that I am giving you. But what the point that we have here, right, it says, Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So also, right, they creep into the church. Just like what we read in the book of Jude, the false teachers, they creep into the church and they resist the truth that they are supposed to defend. What did Jannes and Jambres did with Moses? They were trying to disprove Moses that, hey, listen, your God is not the all-powerful God. We can do the same thing. You know, and just for clarification, okay, if you read Mark chapter 13, 22, and there are other Bible verses, other references that I can give you, but I will just stick to this one. It says, Mark chapter 13, verse 22, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Right? So there is this dark forces, this demonic forces has certain power. There is a limitation on that power, okay? Because remember, they were able to do the first two or three, but then they were not able to duplicate what God did through Moses. They were not able to duplicate that. So these demonic powers, if you look at Revelation, it says the same thing, that at that time, they will deceive by signs and wonders. And that's why, so many times I warn people that do not fall for a ministry that is solely based on signs and wonders. But it could be powered, energized by demonic powers. Okay? Now, they don't have power like God, so do not misunderstand me. Okay? They are not equal. It's not equal. They have some ability. They use that ability to resist the plan of God, right? They resist the plan of God. They could they duplicated a couple of the plagues that Moses did, right? To resist the truth. And here in this chapter, Paul, as he speaks to the Timothy, says, in last days we are going to see men like Jannes and Jambres resisting the truth, even doing the signs to fool us. We need to be so diligent. We need to be so grounded into the word that we do not fall for such men. It says, men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. And if we stop the Bible study right here, I would leave you pretty discouraged, okay? But look at what verse 9 says. It says, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. Right? Janus and Jambres were exposed for who they were. They were a false, they were false priests of a false god, limited power. They were exposed. And what Paul is saying is, just like they were exposed, there is a limit that God has set. And once they reach that limit, they will be exposed. Their folly will be manifested to all as theirs be also. This is the perilous time. This is the last days, right? And as I said, as I said last time, and as we end this Bible study, I want to draw your attention to that one word, okay? For of this sort are those who creep into households. When you look at the world, we look at the secular world. This has been going on from day one. What we are studying here in this first 9 verses is nothing new. Read the book of Judges and you will see, right? There's nothing new. That this is how the secular, godless world operates. But here he says, who creep into the household. This stuff that we have been studying is happening in the church, in the household of God. That's what we need to be very much aware of. Eusebia. Okay, the word that I did not give you before is Eusebia, a form of reverence, a form of commitment to the true religion, although they deny their power. Basically, they reject the reality that is present in the scripture. So they have all the making. They have all the making of what looks like a Christian church, even a Christian household, but none of the reality. Structure is there, but there is no life. God hasn't breathed that life. It's like Adam before God breathed. I put a breath in him, okay? The Holy Spirit is not in them. The life of God is not in them. They are hypocrites. And there is no love for God. There is no truth in them. And only thing they love is themselves, as we read, for men will be lovers of themselves. And because they are lovers of themselves, their goal is to love money, proud, disobedient to parents, and the list goes on. This is a warning. There is an encouragement coming when we meet next Sunday. We need to be diligent. We need to focus on the scripture. We have to be Bereans. We have to study the word, okay? Because we live in a time that is full of deception, where we cannot even trust our own eyes. We are living in that world. Make sure whoever you are learning from, make sure wherever you are worshiping, that the word is from the scripture, that the whole ministry is empowered by Holy Spirit, not by the effort of men. Make sure there are no Janus and Jambres that is deceiving you. Oh, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just lift your name on high, Lord. Just thank you for bringing us all together here at an appointed time, Lord. And as Lord, as we study the word, Lord, as we read the warning and the signs that you have given us, Lord, help us to be diligent. Help us to be mindful, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to compromise. Help us not to compromise, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as your word says, Lord, that we trust you, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that as the word says, that all that you have given to him, they will all come to him. So I pray, Lord, that you are going to you're going to finish the work that you have started in us. I submit each and every person here into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.